welcome to this special bonus episode of the Glow Journal podcast, a conversation with the beautiful minds behind the world's biggest beauty brands. I'm your host, beauty writer Gemma Watts, and in this bonus Ask an Expert episode, I am joined by dermatologist Dr. Desmond Gann, an Australasian College of Dermatologists fellowship-trained consultant dermatologist. Dr. Gann completed his undergraduate medical degree at the University of Melbourne with honours, achieving Dean's Honour List, and was awarded the Evelyn Coy Prize in Surgical Exam. With a long-standing special interest in laser use in dermatology, Dr. Gann was our first port of call when it came to answering your questions on burns and superficial scars. Away from our regular brand founder conversations, I am asked so many highly specific questions about the skin. Given that I am an educated consumer and by no means an expert, it would be extremely unethical for me to even attempt to address those skin concerns, which is why I insist on taking your questions to a medical doctor. This Ask an Expert series gives you, the Glow Journal audience, unprecedented access to medical doctors, professors, and dermatologists. And while this episode is sponsored by Candela Medical, doctors legally and ethically have to remain completely objective in interviews like this. For this reason, this series is giving you, the listeners, completely unbiased expert answers to your most specific skin questions, questions that I cannot answer myself. As mentioned, this episode is sponsored by Candela. However, all of Dr. Gann's views are entirely his own. And as per any interview with a doctor, you will only hear generalized advice, allowing you to make your own informed decisions. In this episode, we've taken the questions you asked about superficial scarring to Dr. Gann. From how soon after an injury you should visit a dermatologist to prevent a scar, and if it's ever too late to fade scarring, through to treatments for cuts from sports, burns from hair curlers, and scratches from pets, and whether or not topical products can really help to fade superficial scars. Scarring itself is obviously quite a broad subject, so I thought it might be best to begin quite broad and then we will hone in on some of our audience submitted questions. So firstly, when we see a scar on the skin, say a dark red mark, what are we actually seeing?
Majority of the red and brown marks that patients complain about that we see, whether it's after an injury, acne or even a rash, we actually don't see as many scars. We actually see more post-inflammatory erythema and post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. So I think when someone complains about dark red mark, I would think that majority are not permanent scars. So when you see red marks, it basically means the blood vessels are dilated, and that's part of the inflammation process to bring in the nutrients, to bring in the body immune cells, and that's necessary for healing to occur. And that would take, you know, days or weeks to fade. And when it becomes sort of a dark brown mark, that means usually means post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. And that really is disruption of the skin layers between the first layer, epidermis, and the second layer, dermis. And then that causes the damage to the skin. And interesting, because we can do a biopsy and we see this pigmentation being trapped deeper down the skin in the dermis. And they stay there forever. You know, some fairer skin type would be, you know, 3 months, or some patients with a darker skin type would take, you know, sometimes a few years to fade them. And then that has to be slowly resolving itself with the body's scavenger cells, you know, clearing up all this pigmentation. And permanent scars can be dark red or dark brown, and that's again due to the retained blood vessels or pigmentation, and that could fade with treatment.
Again, very top level, but what are some of the most common scar healing or scar fading treatments that you find yourself recommending to your patients?
It really does vary with the type of injuries or conditions we see. Now, for example, a flat scar from a burn, or a thickened scar from a laceration from surgery, or even red marks from acne, they're all sort of quite different in what we recommend in treatment. So I'm probably best if I focus on, let's say, laceration or a surgical scar.
Perfect.
That requires stitching, for example. And I probably like to divide them into something that's backed by very strong science mm-hmm. and something that's probably a little bit modest in science. So I think the most important thing, say after an injury, a laceration, immediately after that is you really want to make sure that it's not infected. So cleaning it well, dressing it well with a non-stick dressing, and if that requires stitching at the time of sutures being removed, we tend to recommend taping of the surgical site. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of products that we do recommend. For example, the microporous tape with heat-activated glue. I might mention a name or two, micropore, sometimes steri strips. These are things that we recommend patients after surgery to put on for about at least a week or two, and then follow that with more removable tapes or sheets or gel, such as the silicon sheets and silicon gel. That's very commonly recommended after, say, a surgery. And a couple of things that you can do to make sure the scar heals well. Gentle massaging after 4 weeks, if it's showing signs of thickening. If you're concerned about color, sunscreen is actually really quite important to prevent that from getting browned. And if it's a stretched scar or a thin scar, we can use topical retinol or retinoid. And you might know the retinoid is actually a prescription medication. Mm-hmm. And so we might prescribe that for patients with concern about almost like a stretch mark sort of scars. And we do treat a lot of scars, for example, with steroid injection for the thickened scars. And that's commonly done every 4 to 6 weeks and can be administered by any doctor, really. And we also can offer laser therapy. That's one thing that we talk about with patients quite a fair bit. I think this area is probably under-recognized even amongst medical professionals. The thing that is commonly used is pulse dye vascular laser, like the one that I use is V-beam vascular laser. You can actually treat a scar before it gets red at the time of suture removal, for example. Mm-hmm. And you could say if you're concerned about a scar after surgery on your face, you can run the vascular laser on an every 2 to 3 week basis at the time of suture removal. And that's really been proven to reduce the redness and the scar formation and it helps the healing of the scars very well. So the ones that are sort of perhaps less of a science-backed treatment are vitamin E cream, vitamin E gel, botanical oils, mineral oils. These are probably helpful, probably not going to hurt, mm-hmm. But not one that I use routinely after surgery or after scar treatment.
I'm so glad that SPF got a mention in there because we managed to drop it into every single episode, so it's back. I've had another listener ask, how can you tell the difference between a scar as opposed to just a mark that could very well go away on its own?
Yeah, that's a really common question. I think I touched on that in the first question, that mm-hmm. a lot of the red and brown marks that we see, whether it's after a rash or after an injury, they're actually just temporary post-inflammatory changes. I think you need to look into the nature of the injury, the procedure that may induce the scars, and also in terms of recognizing a scar as opposed to a mark. If the skin surface is very shiny, it's no longer having sort of hair follicles, hair growing through it, the skin contour, the skin texture is different from normal skin, that could well be a permanent scar as opposed to a post-inflammatory erythema.
On that note, how long after an injury occurs and a mark is left behind should we be visiting a professional to treat that mark?
I think the key question here is to recognize it's actually a scar and not just a post-inflammatory pigmentation or erythema. Because as I said before, we could actually use things like vascular laser to treat very early on within the 4 weeks of injury, and that gives a better outcome if you treat it early on. So if you think you've got a deep injury, for example, ones that require suturing, ones that's quite deep after a burn scar, you would want to speak to a professional within the first 4 weeks of the injury. So that would be beneficial for the treatment. Now, in terms of treating post-inflammatory erythema or pigmentation, they can actually be treated with laser as well, even though they do fade with time. But with laser treatment, they can fade a lot faster. So that's something to consider, I suppose, if you're really concerned about the appearance, that you should see someone quickly.
as soon as something happens to us that could result in a scar, I know you've said it's best to get that visit in within the 4 weeks, but what would you recommend that we do to minimise it?
Again, depends on an injury. Mm-hmm. So I probably throw an example of a burn injury.
Yeah.
Like immediately you want to remove the burn sources. You want to make sure they don't burn any more than it should be. You want to run some, say, cool water, avoid icing because the extreme temperature change is actually not good for wound healing.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure it's not infected, make sure it's clean, dress it with something non-stick. And if there's blisters, maybe leave it intact. If it's a clean blister and if it's a dirty blister with blood and perhaps a source of infection, maybe it's better to let the fluid come off. So this immediate skin care or a burn injury care is quite important to avoid further changes to the skin. After that, yeah, one of the keys is actually to minimize movement of the area.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said before, taping, silicone gel sheets are all quite helpful in helping with this. And again, we're going to talk about sunscreen to reduce mm-hmm. the pigmentation. And again, we could use vascular laser to reduce those changes fairly early on.
Perfect. Well, you've given me a great segue, because the subject that we were asked the most about by far was burns. So firstly, starting broad, what actually is a burn? Why is it that our skin turns red, then maybe it blisters, and then it turns darker after it touches something too hot?
Burn is effectively a thermal injury to the layers of skin. And depending on the depth of the burn injury, you can divide them into first-degree burn, which is effectively like a mild sunburn-type injury, which will heal completely without any marks or scarring. If you go down to second-degree burn, it goes down to the dermis, second layer of skin, and not all second-degree burns leave permanent marks. And the deeper ones would definitely leave marks behind or scars behind. And third or fourth degree is what we see in hospital, in the burn unit, so they are a lot more severe. So the redness, as I said before, it's basically blood vessels opening up. It's a part of the first step of inflammation. The blisters form when there's a gap between the first layer of the skin epidermis and the second layer of the skin dermis. So that means that the damage is actually down to the second layer of skin already. Darkening, as I said before, is disruption of the pigment-producing cells, and the pigments become post-inflammatory and gets trapped in the skin. So that's what you see with the healing process.
A listener has asked, we'll have a bit of overlap here, but they've asked, why is my skin left darker where I had an oven burn and how can I lighten it?
And so it sounds like post-inflammatory pigmentation,
yep.
So which is what we talk about all the time. And really time heals. Like I said before, a few months for fairer skin type and darker skin type could take a year or two to heal. So I would definitely use sunscreen to help hasten that process.
Mm-hmm.
Some doctors would actually prescribe bleaching cream that contains hydroquinone. I'm not a I don't favor doing this because the mechanism of hydroquinone is quite different how it works. It doesn't actually hasten the recovery, in my opinion, but some people do use it and maybe works in some patients. You can actually use use laser therapy to lighten the pigmentation. In my practice, I use a picosecond laser with a deeper penetrating wavelength, 1064 nanometer. There are certainly other devices around that you can use to hasten the recovery. But the problem is sometimes if you use a strong setting in these lasers, it actually causes more injury and more pigmentation. So you have to be very careful when you perform these laser therapies.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned that time heals. I've had another listener ask, is it ever too late to fix scarring? I have a 4-year-old burn on my arm from an oven rack. This seems to be a common injury.
Well, I think the earlier you treat it, the better it is, but you can still treat it after some years.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on the scarring. Could be what we call keloid or hypertrophic scars, and that can be treated even 10, 20 years down the track, and we do that all the time in the practice. And again, I said before, the vascular laser or a fractionated ablative laser, those things can help with burn injuries. So you can definitely seek advice from professionals.
Multiple listeners have written in regarding facial burns from using a curling wand. You can tell they're listening to a beauty podcast. Do facial scars and burns need to be treated any differently to other parts of the body?
In general, any injury, whether it's burn injury, thermal injury, or frictional injury, it really heals differently based on the nature of the injury, the contact time, the site, the location. So skin thickness does matter. Also, whether there's ongoing exposure to friction, to injury such as sun exposure, movement of the area, it does matter. In my guess, with facial injuries or scars from hairdressing, is most likely going to be superficial and most likely would fade with time. I can't imagine that an injury like this would cause a permanent scarring. So I would say to just go with the principles. Avoid repeated injuries, sunscreen, and if it starts to form a thickened scar, to go see a professional quickly.
One listener asks, how soon after a hair curler scar on the face, I'm assuming she means burn more so than scar, how soon afterwards can I start using normal skincare, for example, retinol again? Will the burn have sensitized her skin?
I'm thinking, again, this is a superficial injury, would probably be quite similar to, say, after a superficial laser procedure.
Yep.
So what our generic advice is that to avoid skin actives such as retinol, AHA, for about 72 hours after the procedure. Without seeing the injury or scar, I'd say probably stay away from 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure the skin is intact, there's no blisters forming, and before you start using that again.
Another says, I am 5 weeks post curler burn on my face. Should I look into getting a laser treatment of some sort? It's an ugly scar, but am I just being impatient?
I'm assuming this is a superficial burn with probably no permanent scarring. I think 5 weeks is actually really early to have a complete healing of any post-inflammatory changes. So I'll probably say, be patient. And mm-hmm. if you really want, yeah, of course you can seek professional advice and get laser therapy for this.
Rather than a dark scar, a listener has written in saying that she has a white scar from a curling iron burn. Why could this be, and how does one go about treating lighter scars as opposed to dark or brown or red ones?
So I'll probably take a step back again. So when skin injury heals, it can heal with post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation, so increased pigmentation, or it can heal with hypopigmentation, which is uh-huh. reduction of skin color. So it could well be not a scar, just a temporary reduction of pigmentation, and it could really recover with just gentle sun exposure. While we say sunscreen is really important, if you have a post-inflammatory hypopigmentation, the color comes back faster if you have very gentle sun exposure. However, a permanent white scar is probably the hardest to treat because there's no target for the laser to pick on, so there's no brown or red to pick on, and the only thing that would fade the scar is probably something that picks up water, such as the fractionated ablative laser. That would be the only thing that can help. But generally speaking, when we see white permanent scars, it's going to be hard to treat.
On to a different kind of facial scarring. A listener writes in saying, my cat scratched my face accidentally and it's now a light pink scar. How can I fade it? Is the treatment for a scratch like this the same or similar to that of a burn?
I think it's the same as any injury, really. Mm-hmm. If it's superficial, first degree injury, it will fade eventually and nothing needs to be done, really. Again, if you're really impatient, you can have laser therapy to fade the redness. But I would say just be patient and wait for that to fade by itself.
We've had another question about a scratch. That's some clumsy listeners. We've had a listener saying, I have a dark scar on my hand from a scrape 7 months ago. Do topicals work or will I need laser?
7 months sounds like a long time for post-inflammatory pigmentation to hang around. If this particular listener is darker skin type, that's not surprising. But if it is of a fairer skin type, perhaps it could be a permanent hyperpigmented scars. As I've mentioned before, I'm not a big fan of using hydroquinone-based bleaching cream for this. It can be used. It probably does no harm. It can be tried for a period of some weeks to see whether it fades. Laser therapy, as I said before, has to be done very gently because it can cause more injury if you're not careful. So I think a something like a picosecond laser with a gentle setting might be helpful and can help with this scar.
On topicals, this is something that we did touch on earlier in talking about medical treatments versus those that don't have quite as much science behind them. But a listener has asked, do products like botanical oils actually work on scarring?
There are many products in the market that consumers can purchase without a prescription that contain substance like vitamin A, retinol,
mm-hmm.
not retinoid, retinol, vitamin E, botanical oil, mineral oils. I think they are probably mild to moderate in helping with scarring. I don't think they do any harm to scar. So I would say that they can be used and go for it. But my advice for patients is if they use this instead of things like silicone gel or silicone sheets, it's probably not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So an example I'll give you is if someone has got a scar on their face, I'll probably still stay on silicone sheet for 22 hours a day. And you can have that 2-hour break. You can apply your scar cream, scar oil to help hasten the recovery. But don't give up on things like silicone gel, silicone sheet or tapes for that matter.
That's great advice. Another listener has written in saying that she scars really easily and she has scars from everything from scratches from playing footy and from her dog. She's got a couple of questions. Firstly, why do some people scar more easily than others?
Scarring tendency is extremely individual. I'm probably, again, putting my doctor's hat on this. And I think if someone scars easily, they get a blister easily, much easier than other people. If they get skin fragility out of norm, they probably should get assessed by a professional because there are conditions, even though very rare, they do exist. One of them is called porphyria cutanea tarda, and that's a genetic condition or acquired condition that someone can produce blisters with very gentle friction. And that's something that needs to be diagnosed and be treated properly. There are also conditions that have collagen or elastin issues from birth, and that again needs to be diagnosed from day one. So I would say if you have abnormally fragile skin and blister up really easily, you should see a doctor for a consult. As opposed to a general tendency to produce bruises or red marks or brown marks, that probably just differ between individuals. I think things like sun damage, sun exposure, smoking, that thinner skin, these are all factors that can change tendency to scar or to have injury easily.
We'll have a bit of overlap again, but she's also asked if there is any way that she can prevent future scars.
So it depends on the cause, but I would say that if it's an age-related, a sun-related skin fragility, I think the best thing is to use moisturizer regularly, use a good sunscreen, and perhaps stop smoking and live a healthy lifestyle.
Finally, she has asked how to fade those existing scars that she has on her body from scrapes and from scratches.
So I'm going to be very boring again. Moisturizer, sunscreen, topical retinoids, topical retinol, silicone sheets, silicone gels, mm-hmm. and perhaps lasers.
No, I don't think that's boring at all because these are simple, but I think a lot of people hear what they have to do and then they do it once and they go, oh, well, this hasn't worked. You've got to be consistent with it. I've had another listener write in saying, I have been told that I should get laser to fade a scar left on my leg from a sports injury, but laser sounds a bit broad. What sort of treatment would I be looking at and how does a laser actually work to fade a scar?
I think the scar assessment is probably crucial in deciding what to do for this listener. I would say that we see a lot of hypertrophic scars from sports injury on the leg. And if it's thickened scar, the best thing actually, rather than doing laser, is actually steroid injection that you have to get from a medical professional, such as dermatologists or even GPs. If the scar is flat, not thickened, but the color is different, then you can consider laser therapy. And I've sort of touch on this. If it's red, it's vascular laser. If it's brown, it's a pigment laser, like a picosecond laser. So these things are actually not very scary. We do them for rejuvenation. We do them from pigmentation all the time. It's not a traumatic laser. It does not have any downtime, really. You can just do it and then go back to work pretty much immediately. If it is an atrophic scars with a lot of contour change, then you'll be looking at ablative laser that's fractionated that can blend into the normal skin, and that would have a longer downtime.
Another has asked what quote-unquote surgical treatments are recommended for quite large scars, as she has two very big scars on her shins following a bad fall.
If this is a injury, a fresh injury, then she really should maybe speak to the GP or a senior plastic surgeon about perhaps getting that assessed to be treated surgically with skin grafts. If it is an old injury, then really there isn't a lot of surgical treatments that we can use. We're looking more like laser therapy and stuff like that to help improve the scars.
A different kind of scar on the body, but one that I'm unsure as to whether or not it falls under the hyperpigmentation umbrella. A listener asks, how do I deal with scarring on my legs from ingrown hairs and from waxing?
I think you're spot on. I don't think it is sounding like a scar to me if it is from, say, folliculitis or hair follicle inflammation. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine waxing causing second degree sort of scar. So it sounds like a PIH problem, post-inflammatory pigmentation. When we see PIH, the most important thing is actually not to treat the pigmentation, but to treat the cause, the root of the problem. So if she's got folliculitis or what we call pseudo-folliculitis, ingrown hair, then I'll probably say things like a mild keratolytic cream, such as one that contains lactic acid, urea, salicylic acid that can smoothen the skin surface, can help prevent more of this folliculitis. She may require prescription antibiotic topically or even oral antibiotics from time to time. She may want to consider laser hair removal rather than plugging or waxing. So this is probably more important than treating the mark itself.
While we're talking scars on the legs and that darker pigment, this question is actually from me. I have got two dark marks on each of my knees that I've had for 16 or 17 years. Very embarrassing. After I fell over and skidded while running across floorboards during sport in high school. Are these marks considered scars, given that they've been there for so long? And how would I go about treating them? This was a floorboard burn, but I imagine it's pretty much the same as what you would do for a really bad carpet burn. We've just had a look.
Okay. Look. I think assessment is probably the most important thing. I think you have got pigmentation on the protuberance of your tibia, mm-hmm. and that's probably a micro injury causing post-inflammatory pigmentation from kneeling down. That's probably one factor in your scar.
Mm-hmm.
I've got similar scar in my knees, and it's actually really hard to treat brown scars from injury at this area because you get friction all the time. So I would probably say for you, principles are moisturizer. Avoid repeated injury, avoid the micro injuries. I would say that it would be very challenging to fade your scar with laser from what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So very hard to treat, unfortunately.
It's all good. It's all good. I just won't be running on floorboards again anytime soon. My final question, what would be your biggest piece of advice, the gold standard, if you will, for anyone who has undergone a superficial injury and wants to either avoid or fade any scarring?
Probably got 4 points to go through. I think the first thing is to care for the wound to avoid an infection and stretching of the scars. I think the second point is get it assessed properly if you're concerned about a deep scar, because things that need to be sutured up must be sutured up within the first 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the surgical process is a lot more extensive. And the third bit is to restrict movement, and you can achieve that by taping it down, silicone sheeted, and if it's getting thickened, a gentle massage to relieve that. And the fourth point is, in the ideal world, if you get access to a professional like a dermatologist, you might consider things like vascular pulse dye laser within the first few weeks of injury if you're really concerned about the outcome of the scar. So I think that's out of four things that I would say. Of course, ongoing is sunscreen and moisturizer, really, and wait for time to heal.
We've just jumped back on because we were having a conversation about an injured child.
Yeah, I've got a personal story. My six-year-old daughter, about a month ago, had a fall and had a deep laceration on the chin, and it went all the way down to the muscle. And So it was fairly complicated because it's COVID times and she wasn't allowed to be admitted to hospital for suturing. So we, because I knew that the crucial part is to suture up within the 24 hours.
Yeah.
So I really had to pin her down and you know, inject local anesthetic anesthesia in a 6-year-old. She's really quite traumatized. But I had to do it because I knew that if I had to wait for a COVID test result to come back, she would end up having not just suturing, but in fact cutting out of the wound and a retracted chin possibly from the procedure. So I had to do it in 24 hours. And then I did exactly what I said in the interview today, that I silicone sheet that straight away, and I started laser therapy within 2 weeks. So so I practiced
what I
important to know that if you really care about scars and wound, get on top of that really quickly and get a professional advice quickly.
The sooner the better.
Exactly.
That was Dr. Desmond Gann, dermatologist at Melbourne Eastside Dermatology, which you can find on Instagram at Melbourne Eastside Dermatology. You can discover more about Candela Medical at candelamedical.com/au or on Instagram at candelamedicalanz. To read this interview, you can visit glowjournal.com. And for more beauty news, you can find me on Instagram at jemkwatts or at glow.journal. If you liked this episode, please do not forget to subscribe, rate, review, and share so other beauty lovers can find us. I'm Gemma Watts. You've been listening to the Glow Journal podcast, and thank you for joining me.